not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
I am Rob West.
Jesus makes it pretty clear in Matthew 6 that we can't serve both God and money. Today we'll talk about a way to make the decision easier, the treasure of giving. Then I'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Glad you're with us for another edition of Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So today we're unpacking the treasure principle. Our friend Randy Alcorn wrote a whole book about it with that title. The idea is that where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. Now, why is it so important to understand this? Because giving generously breaks the power that money has over us, and it allows us to experience kingdom life more fully. Jesus tells us our hearts become more rooted and attached where we've chosen to invest our material wealth. The treasure principle is real, and it's beautiful. It points the way to an amazing adventure with God. Holding money with an open hand and allowing God to use it is the only way to get free of the grip money has on us, especially in America where abundance causes us to tighten our grip on money. Jesus knew the correlation and told us how to break the connection. We see that in his encounter with the rich young ruler, found in 3 of the 4 Gospels. That man approached Jesus because he wanted to know how to inherit eternal life. From a place of love, Christ told the man to give his possessions to the poor and follow him so that he would have treasure in heaven. Jesus offered him the path to true freedom. The rich young man was unwilling and walked away sad because he had many possessions. He just couldn't do it. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that money is bad and the rich won't go to heaven. And he wasn't saying we should give everything we have to the poor. He was only revealing what the man treasured in his heart and showing how money gets in the way of surrendering our hearts fully to God. This story offers the powerful hope that God can break the power of money in our lives through our generosity. That's because biblical generosity is also powerful, and it allows you to discover the freedom it brings to your financial life and the blessing it offers to the world around you. When we allow God's grace to loosen the grip we have on our stuff, we have the privilege of being an agent of grace in others' lives. In his book, Never Enough, financial author Ron Blue tells how he once experienced this gift of grace through giving in a fast food restaurant. He was at a Chick-fil-A eating breakfast, as he often did. He came to know a woman named Rachel, who regularly took his order. She was friendly, always welcoming Ron with a smile. That particular day, he thought, I wonder if Rachel can take tips. Ron looked at the 20s in his wallet and thought, I'll give her a 20. Just then, Ron says, the Holy Spirit interrupted his thoughts, calling him a cheapskate. You have plenty of 20s. Why not give her 5 of them? So instead of a single 20, he obediently folded over 5 of them so she couldn't see the amount. He handed them to her and walked out, feeling good about yielding to the Spirit's prompting. But that's only half the story. You see, the next week, Ron was back and Rachel pulled him aside. She said, thank you so much for the money. I needed new tires and really thought I'd use your gift to buy them. But that day, my daughter came home from school and told me about a classmate who had lost everything in an apartment fire the night before. I knew that her family needed the money worse than I did, so I gave them the $100 instead. Naturally, Ron was surprised as Rachel went on to share more of her story. You see, she was a mother of 5 who had moved to the U.S. from Central America to give her children a chance for a better life. Although she certainly could have used that money, her heart was on the lookout for ways to bless others. Ron was humbly and profoundly reminded of the power of generosity. He says that he'd given out of his abundance, but Rachel turned around and gave out of her poverty. She had very little and really needed those tires, but took action to love her neighbor sacrificially. Ron says he was stunned by the grace of the kingdom. Moving a little bit of treasure toward eternity had a huge impact on his heart. It reminded him again that giving breaks the power of money. You see, giving always breaks the power of money, transforming our hearts in the process. That is the treasure principle. All right, your calls are next at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that number 24/7. You're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stay tuned. There's much more just around the corner, including your questions.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There's something incredibly beautiful about watching a child open a gift you know they'll love, isn't there? The anticipation in their heart and yours of the joy they're about to experience is thrilling. Imagine our Heavenly Father's anticipation. God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us. He loved the world and gave His only Son. Imagine the joy in His face as His children open the gift of Christ and receive His eternal blessings. It's the kind of joy that can sustain a soul forever, and it will. When we enter heaven's gates, according to Jesus, we'll enter into the joy of our Master. We rejoice, but also He will rejoice over us for eternity. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Whatever you're going through, don't take it as the evidence that God doesn't love you, but embrace it as the realization that you are one of His children and He loves you. And then take hope and knowledge in this truth. He is with you.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, God Loves You. He always has, He always will. Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance Live. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. That's right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, let's head to the phones. We'll begin today in Virginia. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Rob, thanks for taking my call. I've been trying to get through to you.
Well, I'm delighted you did. All righty. How can I help you?
Well, I've been in the stock market for years,
yeah.
And, you know, I have lost a lot of money since June. My question is, how can I prevent this? Can I move my money somewhere else without losing, had to pay taxes on it or vice versa?
Sure. Let's explore that a bit. I just have a few questions. What type of account do you have, Carol? Is it a taxable account? Is it a retirement account of some kind?
It's retirement, and it's IRA and other things. And it is money that I had given to him to go in with my investments. I'm with Edward Jones, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, sure. And is everything in one IRA, or do you have multiple accounts?
I have multiple accounts.
Okay, and I'm interested in the types of accounts. So you have an IRA in your name. What else do you have?
Well, it's a diversified. I have all kinds. I had a lot of stock with telephone company, and I gave that to him.
Okay.
And my portfolio was way up there, and I've already lost over $250,000. It keeps dropping.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. No, I understand, and that's concerning. Yes. You not the investments though that are in it. So let's not think about the stocks or the mutual funds, but I'm looking at the account types first, because I want to help you think through the tax implications. Is everything inside that IRA, or do you think you have maybe a taxable account in addition to that?
No, I don't have a taxable account. What I have to do, I have to draw an RDM every year.
RMD. Mm-hmm.
I don't pull any money from the account until the end of December.
Okay,
and
all right.
My IRA keeps dropping. I had quite a bit of money in the stock fund.
Yeah. What do you think is total in that portfolio today?
Right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Probably around 900,000.
Okay. And you had it as high as what, 1.1 or 1.2?
I had 1.165.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, here's the reality. The key is to make sure that you have the right mix of investments. The challenge with 2022, Carol, is that not only were stocks falling, just given the fact that we had been on a massive run the decade and even beyond that before last year, but we also got into a situation where, because the economy was raging and inflation got out of control, and there's a lot of reasons for that that have to do with monetary policy and a whole host of other issues, including, to some degree, the pandemic. The inflation was runaway at 40-year highs, and because of that, we've seen a massive rise in the interest rates as the Fed is trying to put the brakes on this economy to get inflation back into, where close to their target as they can, which is 2%. It got all the way up to, north of 8%. And they're going to have to, in a sense, force us into a recession. They try to engineer what they call a soft landing and, avoid a recession. We'll see. We'll probably have somewhat of a mild recession this year. And because of that, with the rates rising so quickly, the bond portion of your portfolio, the prices were declining. Even though the yields were increasing, you were losing value on the prices of those bonds. And so all that together has resulted in you losing some money. Now, here's the key is, it's not realized until it's sold, number one. Number two is, if we're patient, this should come back. And what we may have uncovered here, Carol, last year is that perhaps you were a bit too aggressive. And that's not your fault. If this was being managed by somebody, perhaps the allocation of these investments, the portfolio, was a bit too aggressive for your age, goals and objectives, your risk tolerance. And maybe we've uncovered that just through the volatility that you experienced. But I don't think this is the time. Now, ultimately, you're the steward and have to make this decision. But I don't think this is the best time to begin to making a lot of changes in the portfolio, because when we do that, we're going to lock in these losses and we prevent the ability for this to recover, which I suspect you've already seen some recovery from last fall. And even though if we hit a recession, I think a mild recession is priced into this market, we could see some more downside, but eventually the market will recover ahead of the economy. And I think that's the time, perhaps later this year or even early into next year, for you to think about, perhaps sit with your advisor, if you're going to stay with that advisor, or if you're going to make a change, work with your new advisor to determine, how do I get a bit more conservative here so that I don't see these kinds of fluctuations the next time we get into a situation like this economically, where the market is selling off. Let me ask you this, Carol, are you pulling, other than your RMD each year, are you living on an income from this account?
No, I have been in the stock market since I was 50 years old.
Okay.
And I'm now 78. I have never pulled anything from it other than until I got 70 and a half. I had to
got
do
it.
That RDM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very
but I'm
good.
I'm not into aggressive funds, because that's the first question I asked him.
Yeah.
And I'm in what they call the protective fund. Like,
okay,
if one stock's not doing good, there's supposed to be an advisor there that moves it to where the next one is, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But anything, what I read yesterday, J.P. Morgan says the stock market's going to even get down 20%. Again, in June it dropped down 20%. That's where I lost most of my money.
Yeah, and you're down a, you know, a little more than 20% now, which is a little surprising, depend, you know, given that he's said that you are in a fairly conservative posture. I'm not familiar with the actual investments and the allocation in the investment strategy he's describing, but I think the idea here is that at, you know, 70, you said you're 78 years old, is that right?
Right. Next month I will be.
Okay. So, you know, William, what I would expect is no more than 30% typically in a portfolio at your age in stocks and the rest in fixed income or stable type investments, about 70%. And that should smooth out, you know, some of these ebbs and flows where I would have hoped you wouldn't be down quite that much. Could we be down a good bit more this year? Sure. Anything is possible, especially if we hit a deeper recession than expected. So the question you have to answer is, do I want to kind of ride this out, especially given the fact that I don't need this money? So you still have the ability to take the long view. If the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you might need this money to last for the next 20 years or more, Lord willing. And if that's the case, then you've got time on your side for this to recover. And I think at that point, you know, perhaps you look at saying, let's take a deeper dive into this and talk about, if I'm so conservative, why did I see, you know, 20, 25% downside in this portfolio? And what can I do to avoid that in the future?
That's what I need to ask him, right? Why am I losing this much money if I'm conservative?
Exactly. And recognize that, you know, fixed income portfolios were under pressure last year just because of what I said about the dramatic rise in the interest rates over a very short period of time. But there are other ways through other investment strategies, you know, absolute return strategies and others that, you know, you can offset that even when rates are rising as quickly as they have been. The good news is you've been a wise steward and faithfully managing what God's given you. You've got quite a bit of a nest egg here. You don't need it. Your income is covered. And so we have the ability to kind of wait this thing out. But I think if you're not getting satisfactory answers on why this was more volatile than you would have expected, I think it's time to either understand that, talk about the changes that would be made at the appropriate time as some of these investments recover, and look at the potential to make a change on this. I've got to hit a break here. Carol, you stay on the line. We'll finish off the air, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. What are you thinking about? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call with any of your financial questions today. To Virginia we go. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. Hey, I just told you, the lady that got me on or answered the call, I went in the bank a while ago and put down 20 grand in a money market. My bank is my personal bank. I mean, Truett Bank. But and she told me, she said, now this will earn 2.9 interest daily.
Yeah.
And I've got to thinking about that. That's pretty good interest daily.
Yes.
Is that not right?
Well, that's an annual amount, but it's adjusted daily, and it's probably daily, perhaps daily compounding. But that yield, right, that she's telling you is what you would earn over a year's time.
Well, that's pretty good. Still a pretty good. That's better than putting it in a savings account, isn't it?
Well, savings accounts right now, depending on where you're at, if you're at an online bank, you could get up to 3.6% FDIC-insured savings accounts. If you're willing to use an online bank without a brick-and-mortar option. And with money markets, there are some pretty compelling money market rates out there. For instance, Fidelity or Schwab have some great money markets. I know the Fidelity government money market right now, which is made up of government bills, bonds, and notes, is paying 3.88%. As of yesterday, I think I was just looking at it. So there are some other options out there that would require you to go beyond your local bank, Gary, but it would require you opening another account and moving to, let's say an online bank for your savings and then linking it to your checking to get these higher yields, like the 3.6% you can get in liquid savings or 3.8 in, government money market at something like Fidelity or Schwab.
All righty. I appreciate your information, man.
All right, Gary.
An account.
Very good.
I'm working. See, I'm retired, and like I told her, I said, I'm living the dream. So, I'll see what happens.
Okay. Hey, tell me this. What does God have you up to these days? What are you most excited about in this season of life?
Hey, playing golf and giving him money every Sunday.
Well, there you go.
I play golf all week. Wait a minute. I play golf all week long, and I told him, I said, you're going to get your 10% whether I win or lose. So here lately, I've been winning.
I love it. Well, hey, Gary, think about this. Maybe you bump that up 1% every year, and maybe this year it's 11%. And keep your eyes open for where the Lord may use you. Because here's the thing, beyond your money, Gary, this is the season where you have the most wisdom and experience to offer in the Lord's service. So perhaps look for unexpected ways you can serve the Lord, whether that's on the golf course or not. And if I can help you further along the way, sir, don't don't hesitate to call. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. We'd love to hear from you again. Lines are open. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Hey, let's take some emails today. We hear from you every day with your emails to be read on the air. You can send them along if you have a question you want read on the air to askrob@faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. This one comes from Harvey. He writes, how can we contribute to ministries anonymously and still have a record of our giving for income tax purposes? This is a great question, Harvey, because it would seem like this would not be possible to give anonymously and still get a record for income tax purposes if you itemize, simply because if you're anonymous, how do they issue you a contribution statement, which is required by the IRS to document your giving? And the answer is, well, you can use one of my favorite tools for giving, and it's called a donor advised fund. Think of it like a charitable checking account where you actually make a gift to your donor advised fund, your charitable checking account. When you make the gift in, and by the way, you can give to your donor advised fund not only cash, but assets as well. You can make a gift into your donor advised fund of real estate or appreciated stock or a piece of art or even a portion of your business right into your donor advised fund. When you do that, you get the contribution receipt. You're actually making the charitable contribution the moment you put it in the donor advised fund. And so you get that one statement that you use on for your IRS. Now, what do you do with the money then? Well, it sits there until you grant it out. You can only distribute it to a qualified ministry, a not-for-profit organization like your church or some other 501c3 ministry that you support. And you'd simply click in online and make that distribution to the ministry of your choice, and they would send a check coming right out of your donor advised fund. So you got the contribution receipt, and you get the deduction when you make the gift. And then when you give it out, you can either give it in your name or you can give it anonymously. So, Harvey, that would be a great way for you to accomplish both of these things at the same time. Now, where would I go to set that up? My favorite option is what's called a giving fund. It's the what they call donor advised funds at the National Christian Foundation. And you can open a giving fund quickly online. I do it all the time. I did one from my mom just the other day. It took just a few minutes at ncfgiving.com. By the way, the National Christian Foundation is one of the largest charities in the world, although they just facilitate giving. Literally billions of dollars flows through NCF to churches and more than 40,000 ministries every year, ncfgiving.com. It was actually founded by Ron Blue, you might know that name, and the late Larry Burkett, along with an attorney named Terry Parker, decades ago, and it's an incredible organization, and you can set up your giving fund there today. Again, ncfgiving.com. Just click open a giving fund, and you'll be all set. Harvey, thanks for writing to us. If you have a question, send it to askrob@faithfi.com. Your call is just around the corner, 800-525-7000.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word, and we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God. with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind, financially speaking. Again, 800-525-7000. Hey, in the new year, it's naturally a good time to review your budget, and we'd love for you to check out the Faith Fi app to do that. That's Faith, F-I. You'll find it at faithfi.com. Not only can you manage money like other leading apps using our tried and true digital envelope system, but you'll also get access to leading biblical financial resources and a community of like-minded believers asking questions, sharing ideas every day as they encourage one another on their stewardship journeys. No other finance app offers all of these elements in one place, specifically built for God's people. So just head to faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and click the app button to get started. And when you use the app, you're helping to fund, in part, our outreach to share God's financial principles with others. By the way, check out the brand new website, all the great content, the community, the app, when you visit our website, faithfi.com. All right, let's head back to the phones in just a few moments. We've got some lines open today, and we'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about as you consider God's financial principles in light of the decisions you're making each day. You know, often we see financial decisions as being complicated. We just don't know where to turn as we're thinking about managing God's money well. And we can boil it down really into five simple principles. It's the principle of living within our means. That's number one. That's the key to every financial success. Number two, avoiding debt, not because it's a sin, but because it changes the relationship. And that's why there's clear warnings in Scripture about the use of debt, because we know that the borrower is slave to the lender. And it's, in a way, presuming upon the future when we borrow. So we need to be very careful and on our guard about the use of debt and seeking to get out of debt over time. So live within our means, avoid debt. Number three is set long-term goals. You know, the longer term the perspective, the better the decision we're going to make today. You know, we sacrifice in the short term because the long term is clear. We have goals that align with our values and priorities as Christians. We know where we're headed. We want to be able to give more, spend time with our family and take a vacation to build memories, or we want to be able to fund a college education or be able to support ourselves in retirement when we're no longer working, or redirecting our energy away from paid work in service to the Lord. All of those goals are funded because we make short-term sacrifices. But if we don't understand what the goals are and why we made them and how they align with who God has created us to be, then it's very difficult to give up things in the short term. So we need to set long-term goals. So avoid the use of debt. Live within your means, set long-term goals, have some margin. You know, margin is what's left over after all the bills are paid. The challenge is, so often we live right up to the edge, paycheck to paycheck, living and spending every dollar and not having anything left over. Well, without margin, it's really difficult to be able to fund those goals, whether that's something short-term like your emergency savings or something medium-term like buying a car and a house or maybe saving for retirement. And then finally, we want to give generously. You know, giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. When we give, it causes our hearts to be calibrated to the Father so that we have the opportunity to participate with Him in His activity. It's a blessing to be able to partner with the Lord and to give and demonstrate our trust in Him, because when we loosen the grip we have on what He's entrusted to us and we give it away, we're saying, God, I'm trusting that you're going to continue to provide for me, because if I didn't, I'd have to close that fist and clench every dollar that I have. But because we trust Him and because we know He's called us to be a generous people, then we can give freely and know that God will provide. And what we'll discover is this little secret. It's that there's incredible joy in giving and partnering with God in His activity. So hopefully those five principles applied here in a new year will help you get on a solid financial footing. All right, let's head back to the phones. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Kentucky we go. Hi, Elijah. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Excellent program.
Well, thank you, sir.
What are the advantages and the disadvantages of buying a home in cash or finance it?
Yeah. Well, you know, the advantage of buying with a loan is that, you know, home ownership wouldn't be possible for most folks without it. It's the largest purchase most of us will ever make, especially given what's happening with housing prices in the last, you know, decade since the Great Recession and the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009. We've seen a massive run up in housing prices, and it's not driven by systemic, you know, any kind of issues other than supply and demand. I mean, I don't think we're experiencing a bubble of any sort. We really have a shortage of homes in this country of at least 2 million homes as the millennials are reaching the baby, the age where they're having babies. We have a lot more people working from home and moving out of densely populated urban areas to suburban areas, and we need more single-family homes. So because of that, it's just pushed the affordability of homes out of reach for most folks, such that if they don't borrow, they wouldn't be able to access that. Now, the other benefit we often hear about having a loan is the deductibility of the interest. The challenge is 80 to 90%, according to the latest data, of Americans now take the standard deduction. So they're, because the standard deduction is so high, they're really not itemizing on their taxes, and therefore there's not any specific benefit in terms of being able to deduct mortgage interest. So that really has gone by the wayside. The other argument that's made against for having a loan is being able to take and deploy that money. If you have it and you had the ability to buy with cash, you could do either, be able to deploy that in the stock market. And there's something to be said about that. That was certainly more true when we had the interest rates that we had previously, you know, at 2.75, 3%. If you could borrow, you know, under 3%, take that same money and then invest it, you know, with a long-term strategy, you should be able to do much better in the stock market. And I would concur with that. Today, that's certainly a bit more challenging, especially with after-tax returns when we're borrowing at 7% plus. Now, rates have kind of ticked back down slightly to under 7, but still, that makes that far more challenging. On the flip side, Elijah, I think the benefit of buying with cash or trying to pay it off as quick as you can is the first of all, the peace of mind that comes from being unencumbered, just having the flexibility and owning your home outright and not being servant to the lender in this case. There's something to be said about that. And if you have a conviction around being debt-free, I would say don't even think twice about it. Just pay it off if you have the ability to do so. I think for most folks, though, the happy middle is to prioritize getting out of debt completely, including your home, but do it over time and try to sync up the payoff of the mortgage at least by the time you're entering retirement, because that's going to keep your expenses as low as possible by you getting rid of that mortgage. So whatever that takes, maybe that's sending an extra payment or two a year. I would run an amortization schedule and try to time the payoff of that mortgage for the time that you're entering retirement. But at the end of the day, if the Lord gives you a conviction to be debt-free and own that home freely, and you have the ability to do so, I'd do it without thinking twice about it. I've got to hit a break. You stay on the line. I'd love to hear your thoughts off the air, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Find peace in God's Word. In Nahum 1:3, the Lord has His way in the whirlwind. Frequently in life, we find ourselves in a whirlwind, don't we? Really, the wording means His way prevails even over above the storms of the whirlwind. God is in control. He has His way even above the noise of the storm.
Don't miss Exploring the Word with Dr. Alex McFarland weekdays at 3 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up with the podcast at afr.net.
As Christians, we cannot redefine marriages because ours do not turn out according to God's standard. We have to aim for the mark. And the mark, it's not happily ever after. This is a picture of Christ in the church. So God has invited us as two individuals becoming one to be a living billboard of what He did for us.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free Faith and Finance account. Just visit faithfi.com and click sign up.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking about the wisdom of buying in cash. And the question that was posed off the air as I was talking to Elijah is, he said, how much would I spend in interest if I finance a home versus buying with cash? And he gave me the example of a $250,000 home. Well, if you're buying a $250,000 home, Elijah, and you put down 20% or $50,000 and finance $200,000 at today's rates, let's use 6.7%. That's probably a good prevailing rate. You're going to spend $265,000 in interest alone, which means the total of your payments when you add everything together is going to be over $560,000 versus you buying this with cash outright. You're saving all of that interest over a 30-year mortgage. So definitely some incredible savings if you have the ability to do it. Now, for most folks, they don't. And so we go in, we put a nice down payment on it, at least 20%. And then from that point, we try to pay it down as quick as we can. So as long as we have an emergency fund, we're saving for the long term in our investment accounts, let's say a 401k or some other retirement account, If we have margin left over, other than looking at additional giving opportunities, perhaps you consider accelerating your mortgage payoff by at least a payment or two a year. But clearly a lot of savings there, Elijah, if you can buy with cash versus financing. We appreciate your call today. Hey, it's Tuesday. Normally Bob Dahl joins us on a Monday, but he's connecting with us today on a Tuesday morning. Bob, good morning to you, sir.
And to you, my friend.
Great to have you. Bob, it's still relatively close to our new year here. We were talking about your 10 predictions the last time we had you on. So here we are off to the races, and it seems like kind of more of the same in terms of what we're watching and talking about these days, economically speaking. Would you agree?
Yes, the market does not know we changed the calendar. It's not as if new calendar got to have a new roadmap. So it is pretty similar. I guess the only thing I would notice from a market standpoint is, as is often the case in January, what did poorly the calendar year earlier, in this case 22, tends to come out of the market January 1st and do really well, and vice versa. In other words, the laggards lead for a while. And we're seeing that in spades this first week or two of the new year. Typically, it doesn't last.
Yeah, no question about that. Bob, one of the things we haven't really talked about, and you mentioned this in your 10 predictions for this year. By the way, if you'd like to learn more about Bob's 10 predictions or sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations, you can do that at crossmarkglobal.com, where Bob serves as the chief investment officer. But you mentioned in there just the outperformance you believe this year, which will continue from last year, in international stocks. And that might seem strange to folks that international outperformed the U.S. last year, given everything you and I talked about throughout the year with regard to the challenges that in many cases we were in better shape geopolitically and from a COVID standpoint and just economically, and yet we saw outperformance. Why do you think that was?
Well, there are a bunch of reasons. One is the composition of foreign markets versus the U.S. The U.S. is very technology heavy compared to most other markets. And since tech stocks didn't do well, that's one of the reasons the U.S. lagged. I think another is just a recognition that non-U.S. markets tend to be a lot cheaper than the U.S. So some of the bad news, Rob, was priced in compared to the U.S., where we had to undergo more valuation decline as interest rates and inflation went up. So they're among the reasons why international markets went down less than the U.S. in 2022.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob. Well, as you look out over this year, obviously we can see and we'll continue to get readings on inflation, and we'll be watching that closely. What is the latest thinking with regard to a recession here in the U.S. and how quickly might we see that?
Economists have very mixed views on that. My personal view is, given all that the Fed has already done and the long lags between what the Fed does, i.e. raising interest rates from essentially 0 to 4.25 with more to go, the effects of that are still to come. And I think that will be enough to put us in a mild recession at some point this year. There are other economists who are saying, no, we're just going to have a soft landing. Everything is going to be fine. And then there are others that are saying, yeah, there are a lot of imbalances. We may have a garden variety recession. So pay your money, take your choice, as they say.
Yeah, very good. We talk often just about the fact that the market will price in some of these events if it's commonly believed to be what we're going to see. Do you believe that the markets, in a sense, have priced in a mild recession at this point?
To some degree, yes, but to some degree, no. The no part, Rob, is earnings. Earnings expectations are still too high. Even if we have just a slowdown, but if there's a mild recession, earnings expectations for 2023 have to come down some. My guess is a lot of analysts are waiting until fourth quarter earnings are released and managements talk about what 23 looks like, and then they'll bring their numbers down. And it's hard to see stocks going up a lot when earnings estimates are coming down. They have to settle out to wherever they're going to be, and that's lower than here.
Yeah, very good. So it's probably more wait and see at this point with regard to the market before we see any dramatic moves up or down, and a lot of data still to come. Well, Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Again, you can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Well, here in our final segment of the broadcast today, if you have a question, we've got room for one or two more, 800-525-7000 with whatever is on your mind. Sharon called a moment ago and couldn't hold. She was wondering about using an IRA or a 401k and how to choose between the two. Here's my thoughts on that, Sharon. Both 401ks and IRAs have valuable tax benefits, and you can contribute to both types of accounts. The main difference is the 401k is offered by your employer, whereas the IRA is individual in your name only. So the only way to contribute to a 401k is through salary deferral. That is money coming out of your paycheck and automatically being contributed to the 401k. The reason I typically like to start with the 401k is because there's often matching that's done in your 401k contribution. So a typical employer might fund or match up to 3%, for example, of your contribution. So for every dollar you put in, up to 3% of your pay, they're going to match it dollar for dollar. Well, that's a 100% return on your money right out of the gate. You're not going to get that in the stock market. So I would absolutely take advantage of that match. Beyond that, you could contribute to an IRA simply because, number one, you've got unlimited investment options, so more flexibility. But number two, you can choose a Roth IRA, which allows you to put in after-tax money that's going to grow tax-free. So you might start with the matching portion of your 401k, then fully fund your Roth, and then if you still have more to contribute, and by the way, I'd use 10 to 15% of your pay as a target for all of your retirement contributions, whether that's 401k, IRA, or both. If you still have some more room to get up to that 10 to 15% after you've maxed out the IRA, then I'd flip back to that 401k because the last benefit of the 401k is the contribution limit is much higher. For instance, you can put in $22,500 into a 401k this year if you're under age 50, and you can put in only $6,500 in an IRA under age 50. So hopefully that helps you. Both of them treated the same. You're going to be able to put a lot more away in a 401k, and let's prioritize the match first. Thanks for calling today, Sharon. I'm sorry we couldn't get you on the air. All right, back to the phones. We go to Oklahoma. Hey, Jason, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to get the information. You had mentioned earlier in your show that there were higher interest rate savings account options online. You said something like 3.6% for savings, and then you had mentioned something else. I didn't catch it, at 3.8, and then you name dropped Schwab and Fidelity, sure. I think, but I was wondering if that was the only online options, and you could just elaborate on that a little bit more for me. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Jason. Thanks for the question. You know, with the banking options, we're typically familiar with brick and mortar banks that we might have had a longstanding relationship with, and we're walking into a bank branch on the corner, and that's great. And you certainly get more, you know, you get face-to-face service that way. The challenge is a lot of the traditional brick and mortar banks pay very low rates on their savings accounts, and you've got fees, oftentimes monthly maintenance fees. Well, you eliminate all of that and get much higher rates. An online bank, still FDIC insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So you're not losing anything there. You just don't have the benefit of walking into that local branch office. But when they get rid of all that added expense of those brick and mortar branches, they're able to pass that along in the form of no fee savings and checking accounts and much higher interest rates. So savings options with online banks at Marcus and Ally Bank and Capital One 360 is going to pay you right now probably about 3.6% for an FDIC insured savings account. And you're not going to be able to get that at a brick and mortar bank. So one way to find who has the best rates right now would be to go to bankrate.com and just do a search for savings accounts. They'll also rate the banks. But again, you still get that FDIC insurance. You're just going to get a lot higher interest rate. The key is you've got to be comfortable doing business online. So I would open that savings account and then link it to your checking. That allows you to move money back and forth electronically as you see fit. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Jason. You can, again, check all those out at bank.com and find all of the options. Thanks for calling today. That's going to do it for us. I want to say thank you to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you enjoyed being along with us today, and you'll come back and join us again tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again at 10 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.